Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrea from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform, for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you.
I just want to share a few things. You know, many of you, I'm sure, received a message saying that I'm going to share a personal thing, something personal I've never shared before, and I'm going to share my testimony. How I got to Centurion from Durban, and before Durban, Zimbabwe. And you know, God has really been faithful. God has really blessed me and my family. When I thought that there was no hope in ministry, no future for me and my family, when we literally lost everything, our jobs, we had no security whatsoever. And God spoke to me and He gave me a vision and He said that I must come up here. And I was obedient. And you know, the funny thing is, there was so much uncertainty as to when I was going to come. I had made the decision that I was going to come. God spoke to me. But I remember when I got here, the day that I arrived here, I sat with Prophet Leon at his house. He took me into his house, me and my family, as I shared this morning. And I sat with him and he showed me on his phone a note that he had written, I don't know, the beginning of June. And it said, David will get you on the 24th of July. Well, that was the 24th of July, the day that I arrived. So that's the prophet that we have in this house, and I honor him. I honor him tonight. I don't know where I would be if it was not for him and his family and how he's blessed me and my family and really loved us and taken us in. That's why, you know, when all these people say all these things, and they really do say all these things, you know, I come from outside. And I've come in and I've seen and I've heard how ministers speak about him. I've heard how people speak and all these accusation, wild things. But all I've ever seen is the opposite. All I've ever seen is love. All I've ever experienced is acceptance. In fact, I've experienced love and acceptance and help from him when nobody else, all the people that promised they would be there, promised they would help, and then it was silence. When everything went wrong, it was silence. So in this transition period, Prophet Leon and his family, where they were the only ones that were there for us. So, you know, we've known each other for 10 years, like I said this morning. And I just want to share that every time that I would experience God's presence, like we had tonight, like we have tonight, every time that I would experience God's presence to that degree, experience His glory, was always in a meeting, whether it was here at a conference or where back home when He would have a conference or a youth camp or whatever it may be, we would experience the glory of God. And it's because He lives a life of sacrifice. And God answers sacrifice by fire. And I've seen how His ministry has developed and how He's grown in ministry. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this. I'm so grateful to be here. And my desire is to serve this house. I know that that's why I said this morning, the anointing here, many people, we must never take it for granted. The anointing here is what activated and actually preserved and restored me and my wife, where I stand here today. I took the service this morning. I'm taking the service tonight. But 5 months ago, I never thought I'd preach again. So there's an acceleration that's taking place. And that's the move of God that we're a part of in this house. An acceleration. What church do you know of that after 3 years has two campuses filled to the brim at a conference? We are moving forward. We are a church that is growing, expanding, and moving forward. And I'm glad to be a part of this move of God. So, as I said, I used to preach. In fact, I used to preach every Sunday. Two services every Sunday, and I thought that was finished. I thought never again it would be done, and you know, everything was just finished. But during that time, when everyone else abandoned us, and literally, you know, I'm talking about in ministry, you know, and everyone else sort of left us, but not Prophet Leon and Isley. He was always there for me when I would have problems, when I would have difficulties, when I didn't know how to run a church that I was running pretty much alone, me and my wife. He was there. He always available. I could phone him anytime. And in fact, I did. Many times we would speak on a Saturday night. I'd be like, I have nothing. I don't know anything. I've literally exhausted everything that I've ever known. I have nothing to share with the people. And he would say, no, here, send me scriptures, send me revelation and help me. And that's the type of relationship that I've been privileged to have with Prophet Leon. Last year, you know, as I said, I was basically thrown out, but the anointing of this house has lifted me. Amen. And I don't think I've felt God's presence on me like I have just today, and how his anointing is so strong in this place. But you know what? I believe that there's a new generation, a generation of people that have been overlooked, a generation of people that God is raising up here at Encounter, a generation of people that might be thrown away, but God is going to raise us up and cause a great shaking to come, a great revival to break forth, and I'm excited that we're going to be a part of it. I'm excited that we are here right now. So, you know, there's many things that I can share, but I'm not going to share the elaborate details. There's no need for that. But there was a lot of things, you know, I've sat in meetings across South Africa, pastors' meetings, where the sole purpose of the meeting was just to run Pastor Leon down, to belittle him. And in fact, the whole meeting was aimed at me and my wife. We were sitting there for the whole day. The whole meeting was aimed at us and how we shouldn't be connected with Prophet Leon and this ministry. And, you know, I heard many evil things. I was actually forbidden from speaking to him by somebody in ministry. And like I said, all these things I've heard, all these things people have told me, you don't want to get involved there. No, it's wrong. It's different. It's not right. And all these things, I've heard it all. But everything I've experienced is the opposite. In fact, when I've been living at the house for now, I don't know, what's it, 4 months? Maybe 4 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. I'm very comfortable there. 5 months we've been living there. And all I've experienced is a time of refreshing. All I've experienced is a time of rest for my soul. You know, we're busy, but my soul is refreshed because the pressure that I was under, the trauma that we went through, it was a lot. And you know, so I don't understand when people come against this church, when people come against our prophet and they say these things. I don't understand it because I've never experienced it. And, you know, you can pretend for a day, you can pretend for a few hours, but how do you pretend for 5 months? While somebody's living in your house, they see you when you wake up, they see you when you go to bed, they see you preparing and fasting and praying for the people. How do you pretend? How do you fake that? There's no faking that. And you know, I've been privileged to see Prophet Leon from the beginning stages of his ministry before he was sent out. And you know, even then, I've seen with my own eyes how people would try and take him out and just try and destroy him and say things that weren't necessarily true, and they would try and you know, literally try and take him out. But every time I saw how God would vindicate him, every time I saw how there would be a turnaround. And I'm sure that that's not the last of it. I'm sure there's going to be many things that might come up here and there, but I'm telling you, one, it's not true, and two, God will vindicate him and turn around just like he always has. Amen. If you ever want to know, if somebody says something and you want to know, I've been there for 5 months, I can promise you, I can tell you the truth. But you know, us as a team, and I'm sure Gerard and everyone will agree, we're still taught to honor and love and just love people, even the people that come against us, even the people that say all these things, we love and we honor them. You know, I've never encountered God like I have here. And I want you guys to know that. I want you guys to know the anointing in this place. I want you to know that God is here. It's not common where we can just worship and his glory descends in this place and you can feel his presence all over you and you can feel the breakthrough that you need is right there. You just have to grab it. It's not common. It's not a common thing that happens in all churches. No, it's something very special that we have here. And I also want to say that it's you who actually saved us. Your finances and your giving and what you've done in supporting this ministry and allowing this ministry to be established, it's you who've actually saved me and my wife. Because if it wasn't for the church, then I wouldn't have Prophet Leon, and he wouldn't have been able to take me, and he wouldn't have been able to help me like he's helped many ministers before and will continue to help ministers. And I know many ministers that he's even helping even right now. I just don't want to miss anything out. I wrote down some things I want to say. You know, we still chose to maintain relationship with Prophet Leon, despite how we were instructed not to and done this and that and all these things. We still chose to maintain relationship because of one thing. I knew and I saw the miracles that were taking place. I saw the growth. I saw the breakthrough. And I thought to myself, there's no ways that this is not of God. There's no ways that this is not of God, that there would be such growth and breakthrough and even the miracles that would take place even in this house. All the evil people said, but I just saw the complete opposite. So many of you might know that the church that I was running eventually closed down. And I want to also just say, some people have been to that church. God closes a church. No man or devil has the ability or power to close a church. Only God can close a church. If the church can just be easily closed by a man, I can wake up one day and say, listen, we're going to close the church today. No, that's not the church of God. The church of God is closed by God. And so that church was closed not because of my fault. Not because of my fault. I was thrown in the deep end there. And I'm just sharing my heart. I had preached a few Sundays. I was not ready for that. But, you know, there were certain things that happened. And through this transition, God has really turned everything around. And tonight I'm going to share a message that I hope will encourage all of you. That when it seems like everything's over, like it did for me, like it seemed 5 months ago when I was preaching every Sunday, to not preaching again, thinking, will God ever use me again? I can promise you, standing here as a living testimony, it's not finished. It's not over. Just because you feel like you're done, you feel like there's no hope, I can promise you, it's not finished. The anointing here is able to restore those who need restoration. The anointing here lifts up those that need to be lifted up. And that acceleration, in 5 months, I've come back and back stronger because of impartation. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. So that's my heart, that I just wrote down a few things. And you know, I'm excited for next Sunday when Prophet Leon is back for the Vision Sunday. I believe he's got some powerful things to share with us. And you know, it's just amazing the growth and the progress that we've gone through as a church. But tonight, I should be good for time. We're going to talk about our calling and purpose. This morning we spoke about how, you know, the type of people that God calls. And we saw 8 types of people that God calls. And I'm sure that every one of us here knows that we are called by God. Amen. We know that God has called us, and he's called us as his children. He's called us with a purpose. Every one of us is called, and there's nothing greater or higher than the call of God. The problem is many of us don't tap into purpose. The moment we tap into purpose, we have the ability to experience supernatural seasons, and those seasons give us opportunities to grow in that purpose, to experience and encounter destiny, and ultimately fulfill the purpose that God has given us. So I'm going to share about destiny, purpose, seasons, and time. I don't need this. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10, please. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. When we know our call and when we make it sure, when we hold on to our call and we know what God's called us to, we will never stumble. If you don't want to stumble, you need to grab a hold of your call and make it sure that you would not lose that call, that you would know, I am called of God. Even when I doubt it, even when circumstances seem like it's the opposite, even when things go wrong in my life, I can turn around and say, I know that I am called, and the opposition might come, but I will not stumble because I know that I'm called. called, and I've made it sure in my heart, I will know for sure that I'm called. That's what we need to do. So what's next after we know that we're called? What do we have to do? We know that we're called, and we've got a great revelation of that. This morning we spoke about it. But here at Encounter, we have what we call the vision process. And I would encourage you, if you have not been through it, go through the vision process. That's what we have designed to equip you, to get you to a place of fulfilling your calling, to get you to a place where you can step into your purpose, where you can know what God has called you for, where you can experience His presence and the fullness of all that He has planned for you. That is what you need to do. If you have not done that, go through the vision process. It really will bless you. It blessed me. Even coming from outside, like I said, I used to minister. And coming in and going through F1, going through F2, going through SOD, going through all these things, I experienced things that I'd never experienced before. That's the type of teaching, that's the equipping that we have available for you here at Encounter. So what do we need to understand? Number one, you have been anointed for a specific purpose. There's nobody like you. You need to know that there's no two people that are the same. I was told that I'm ignoring you. I'm going to not ignore you tonight. I think it's because it's a little bit dark here. That's why. But I'm speaking to you here now. I'm going to actually just, you guys can listen. There's no two people that are the same. Why? Because if there was two of me, then one of me would not be necessary, because I was designed and created for a purpose. I was designed and created by God. I'm of divine origin. I come from God, and He has a purpose that is specific and unique to me. That's why it's important for us never to compare with other people, because I might look at Harod and I'll say, well, you know, I also want to be like Harod, but I can't sing like him. I can't play piano like him. So I'm always going to be like, well, you know, he's always going to be better than me, and I'll never make up to him. No. God has called me for something that Harod might not be able to do, but I'll be able to do. Just like I might not be able to do what he's called to do, the same applies. God has anointed us for a specific purpose, a specific assignment. Go with me to Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say with me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Now insert purpose here. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He has anointed you. He has anointed you for a purpose. He has anointed you for a calling. He has anointed you for something that only you can fulfill, because you are designed with purpose. Jesus' case was to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal this brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That was Jesus's mandate, His purpose, and what He was reading from. And you know, we are called to do greater works than Him, so you can take all of that and you can do all of that. The second thing that we must recognize is we must recognize the seasons that God has sent us to fulfill. It's all very well knowing my purpose. I know that God has called me to this. And many times it's something that you can't even fathom. You know, maybe God has called you to be this great apostle, to be this great prophet, to preach in cities, or to be this successful businessman, to have the biggest business in South Africa. I don't know. Whatever God's called you to, it might seem like it's unachievable, but you need to realize that purpose is always connected with seasons. There's seasons that God opens up for us where we can step into that purpose, where we can fulfill the purpose that He's called us to. So seasons and purposes are always connected, and they always involve time. I'll get to the scripture now that ties them together. But we need to know that seasons are always marked by divine activity. A season is something where there's a divine activity that you can recognize, and it's linked to purpose. So first step is, I must know my purpose. I must know that God has called me to do XYZ. God has called me to preach. God has called me to minister. God has called me to business. God has called me to finance His kingdom. God has called me to do this or that. I must know my purpose, and then I will experience a season. God's not going to give seasons to people who don't know their purpose, because if you don't know why you're here, if you don't know what you need to do, what's the point of having an opportunity or a season to do that very thing? But if you know your purpose, then God will open up a season for you. And in that season, it'll be a season of purpose. Just like many great men and women in the Bible, they walked into a season of purpose, a season where there was fulfillment of that purpose that God gave them. Just like Joseph, if we look at the life of Joseph, we see that Joseph had a dream. Joseph dreamt of these things. He dreamt that his brothers would bow before him, and then even his family. And he dreamt these dreams. In other words, he received his calling. He received his purpose. The dream was given and he knew it. If Joseph never had the dreams, if Joseph never realized his purpose, if he never realized what God had called him for, he would never have been thrown in the pit. His brothers would not have tried to kill him. He would not have ended up in Potiphar's house. He would not have gone to prison. He would not have interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler. He would not have come before Pharaoh. He would not have become second in charge. He would not have delivered his people the very promise that God had given if he had not known the purpose in the first place. He tapped into the season that God opened up for him because he knew his purpose. And you know something very interesting, and maybe I can turn there in my Bible, I highlighted it this afternoon. There's certain things that we need to remember, and one of them is this: the story of Joseph, a very great story of deliverance, and it's even a parallel to the story of Jesus. But if we look at Joseph in Genesis, there's no book of Joseph. Genesis 39 verse number 2, if we can turn there quickly. Genesis 39 verse 2. The Bible says, this is now when Joseph is a slave in Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was in the house of Potiphar. One thing that I realized about the scripture is that Joseph went through this. He was in the pit, he was sold as a slave, and now he's a slave to his master, the Egyptian. But the Bible tells us very clearly that the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph never read that. Joseph never read the Bible and said, oh, well, it's okay. God's with me. I'll be fine. It's all good. No problem. Then if we go ahead and jump to verse 20, now he starts to make something of himself in part of his house, but something again happens in verse number 20. He gets thrown in prison, and in verse number 20, I'll read it. It says, then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I want to tell you that when you go through a season that's maybe not the season of opportunity for your purpose, he was not yet at his purpose. He was not yet second in command. He had not yet been before his brothers and his family and stored away for 7 years and delivered his people. He had not yet got there. He was still in the process. He was in a different season. But even then, the Lord was with him. Even then, God was with him. Why? Because he was following his purpose. Because he never lost sight of that dream. He knew that he was called. He knew that God had a plan for him. He knew that God had a purpose locked up within him. So he kept his faith, and despite the circumstances he was in, he proved himself faithful. He was faithful as a slave. He was faithful as a prisoner. And ultimately, he was faithful as second in command. That just proves that the scripture is right. If you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful with much. That's completely off my message, but so we must recognize the seasons that God sends us to fulfill. Matthew 16 verse 2 to 3. We must know and recognize seasons. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees here, and he answers them and says, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Next verse. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. You hypocrites. Now, Jesus speaks to the Pharisees. Sometimes people think they know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. Hypocrites, he shouts at them, you know how to discern the face of the sky. In other words, you know how to discern the seasons in the natural, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. In other words, Jesus is rebuking them, saying, actually, you should know the sign of the time. You should know that I'm the Messiah because it's been prophesied. It's been predicted. You know, you should know. Daniel prophesied it. Isaiah prophesied it. Jeremiah, all these great prophets, they prophesied to the T, very much so, when the Messiah would come. And he's rebuking them, for they cannot discern the spiritual seasons. They cannot discern the signs of the time. He was addressing them because they knew how to interpret the natural, but not the spiritual. And the same, we need to know how to interpret and discern the seasons, the spiritual seasons that we go through, so that we can respond to them correctly, so that we know that when it's winter in the spirit, we're not dressed in our baggies going to the beach, because that's inappropriate. That we must be ready and prepared for the seasons. Just like we have natural seasons, we have spiritual seasons as well. And not like natural seasons, which are 3 to 4 months and they go, you know, by quarters. Spiritual seasons vary in length and duration. Some spiritual seasons can be a few days. Some can be a few months, years. Spiritual seasons differ and vary very much so. But they're always linked to purpose. Our seasons are always linked to purpose. We have a season of opportunity, a season where we can step into that purpose. An opportunity and a door opens and you think to yourself and you've thought to yourself, I know God's called me to this, but when am I going to get an opportunity? When am I going to get an opportunity to do this? And I can testify, my whole life has been a story of God making room for me. I was not the first choice by any stretch. There were many above me. And then I saw how they would go out one by one. And then suddenly I would be up and promotion and promotion and promotion. God makes way for you. Promotion, God promotes you. No promotion comes from anyone else. God brings promotion. But when you know your purpose, when you know your call, you just have to be faithful in that. You have to trust in God and be proactive in it. And the season will come where you can step into that purpose. This is the key verse that I want to get to. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. It's a verse that we know so well, but it has three powerful principles. To everything, say everything. That includes me and you and everything. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Three very powerful words in there. Season, time, and purpose. All three of them work together in God's plan for your life. In other words, there's a purpose that we all carry. We need to know what our purpose is. We need to know that call that God has placed within us. We need to know our purpose. Then we need to know and recognize seasons, but also we have to do it in the right timing. The difference between timing and seasons, we'll get to just now. I'll explain it. But what is purpose? Purpose is God's divine plan for your life. Purpose is God's original intent. It's what He made you and designed you to be. The reason that He created you, that is what purpose is. If we don't know purpose, we will not be ready for our seasons. We must know our purpose before we can experience a season. When we know our purpose, a season is guaranteed. It might, in the case of Joseph, take 13 years. Before you experience the season where you have your promotion, where you have your purpose fulfilled, but it also could take a few days, and you don't know how long it's been since the last season. You don't know that maybe you're 3 days out from your next season. Maybe you're 1 day out. Maybe tomorrow everything changes. Maybe when you walk into work tomorrow, your boss just looks at you and says, there's something different. I don't know why, but here's a promotion. Here's that thing that you've been asking 6 months for. God is able to redeem the time. Time is a physical limitation. It's important, but purpose and seasons are linked. Have your seats. What is time? Time is what God has given us to live. Time is the set amount of days that we have on this earth to live. Time is a physical reality. Time is something, you know, space, time, and matter. We were created from outside and put in, which means that time and space and matter, they affect us naturally, but God is outside of them, and we originate outside of them, which means that God can manipulate them and redeem. That's why the Bible says that God is able to redeem the time, because time is just another physical constant. Just like somebody can get healed and their shoulder can be healed completely. It's not natural. It's not something that can be explained away. God is able to walk outside of physical constants and physical attributes. So we must, obviously, time is important. We must make the most of the time that we've been given. Many people, they go through life and all they do is they eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. No purpose, no hope, no destiny, nothing of greater significance. They're just going through life. That refers to wasting time, or how the prisons refer to it as doing time. If you go to prison, you're serving time or you're doing time. Why? Because you're locked away and you can't do anything significant. You can't get promotion in your job. You can't further your life. You can't marry somebody that you want to marry. You can't have children. You can't do anything. You're doing time. You're serving time. And time is a punishment to criminals. Criminals have their time taken away because they're serving time. Amen. So many people are serving time in the prison of their own mind that they've created. They're just serving time because they haven't tapped into purpose. They haven't tapped into what God's plan is for their life. So we must not be those who are just serving time. The same applies spiritually. Many people are spiritually serving time because they're not developing themselves spiritually. They're not walking into God's purpose and His plan for their life. And it always leads to the same thing, depression and anxiety. People that are often depressed and anxious outside of medical reasons don't know what they're called to do. They don't know what God's plan for their life is, and they have no hope because of that, because they have nothing greater that they're working towards. So purpose always creates passion. If I know what my purpose is, there will be passion connected to that purpose. Passion means that I will love my life. I wake up and I'm excited to go to work because I know that it's serving my purpose. I know that God has called me to something greater. I know that what I'm doing is working for me, just like Romans 6:28 says. Seasons. What is a season? A season, like I mentioned, is marked always by divine favor and the supernatural. It's different to times. Time always relates to the natural world. It's like time, space, and matter. It's temporary. Whereas seasons are marked by supernatural activity. Seasons are given by our Father in heaven to move us forward to purpose. God gives us seasons to provoke us and to promote us, to cause us to go from one state of existence into another, to go further in our walk towards purpose, towards destiny. That's what a season does. If I don't know my purpose, I cannot experience a season. So how do we recognize spiritual seasons? The same way we do in the natural. I know that when the trees begin to change color and begin to fall, then that's autumn. I know when it suddenly the temperature drops and it gets really cold, it's winter. I know that when the flowers begin to bloom again, it's spring. And when it gets really hot, like it is sometimes these days, I know that it's summer. The same applies in the spirit. We can discern and recognize seasons that we go through in life. But how do we make the most of our seasons? The first thing we need to do is we need to understand that we must grab seasons with both hands. We cannot do God's purpose outside of the season. We cannot do it before or after. When God brings a season of opportunity or a season in our life where we can enter into our purpose, we cannot do it before and we cannot do it afterwards. We must be in step with His Spirit. We must be walking with Him so that we can know and recognize and discern the seasons that we are in and make the most of them. The most sad thing is when people miss their opportunities and miss their seasons because they could not discern. Just like Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, you can know the signs of the seasons by the weather. You can know the seasons in the natural, but you cannot discern the times of the signs of the times. Let us not be a people that cannot discern the seasons that God has called us to. It's only during the period, during that time frame, during that season that we can have what He's called us to have in that season. If we miss it, then we must go around the mountain again. And many times this leads to people missing their destiny because they carry on going round and round. An opportunity is given and then maybe again, but then there's no more. Just like a student at university. If you're studying at university, you might be there for 4 years. You must know you can't go and write first semester maths and second semester. No, you missed your season. Your season is gone. Just like a parent has roughly 18 years in South Africa to raise their child up in the ways of the Lord, to mold them correctly, to equip them with all they need. Because after those 18 years, that season of parenthood changes and you go into a new season and your influence begins to dwindle. And now suddenly, like, my mom would maybe speak to me once or twice, three times a week, but she's not going to tell me or control how I raise my child. She can't tell me how I must manage my finances. Her influence over me is limited versus my younger brother and sister who are still living at home and have to listen to every word that she says, even when they don't. If they're watching, you must know. I'm running out of time. Let me tell you a story of Moses. Moses went through seasons in his life, just like many people in the Bible. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt. He spent 40 years in Egypt. Then he killed somebody. Then he got chased into the wilderness and spent another 40 years in Midian tending to some sheep. But then what happened was he had an encounter with God. And suddenly he began to step into the season of purpose. The season where he would be what he was called to be from birth. Where he would be that great deliverer for his people. It was at that moment of the burning bush, and ultimately he went back to Pharaoh. But then what happens? So it's 40 years in Egypt, then it's 40 years in the desert, then it's a few days in Egypt and deliverance and all that takes place, then 40 years in the desert. But he fulfilled his purpose as a deliverer because he was available, he was ready, and when that burning bush was there and he was walking past it, he stopped and he turned and he gave attention and he was ready at that moment of his that season that God would call him to. And that was when he stepped into powerful miracles and signs. And we know the great signs that he did. You can read about them in Exodus chapter number 4. Or how about Jesus? Jesus was 30 years old when he entered into his ministry, and his ministry lasted three and a half years. There's not much written about Jesus for the first 30 years. We hear about him when he was born. We hear about him again when he's 12 years old and he preaches in the synagogue and confuses all the rabbis. Then we hear about him again when he's 30 years old and he steps into his purpose and he's marked by supernatural signs and wonders, and God's hand is upon him and he ministers for 3.5 years and absolutely shakes the world upside down in 3.5 years. Why? Because he was in a season, the season of his purpose, the season of his manifestation. The Bible says that he grew in stature and favor with men. Jesus stepped into a season just like many of us are about to step into a season. We need to know our purpose, and when that season comes, correctly discern it so that we can make the most of it and experience the growth and breakthrough that God has called us to. Have your seats. I'm running out of time. 5 minutes. And then I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Skip that. I'm not even like halfway through. Seasons are given according to purpose. We were created with a purpose. In Genesis 1 verse 26, we were given a purpose. Adam and Eve were created with purpose. They knew what their purpose was. God gave them a purpose. Purpose is regulated by seasons. We go through seasons and then we fulfill our purpose for that season. Then we go through another season, we fulfill purpose for that season. And that's how we grow, that's how we walk towards ultimately fulfilling that destiny that God has given us. But seasons are either sovereign, in other words, God will just make a season happen, or seasons can be provoked. Seasons can be stirred up, and God is often behind that anyway. But if we look at the life of David, we see that he was provoked. David, the moment that Goliath stepped onto the scene, the moment that his season shifted, David never went back to tending his father's sheep. It was a provocation from a Philistine giant who rose up against the people of Israel that caused David to be provoked out of where he was in his comfort zone to walk right into purpose, ultimately slay that giant, become the king, and ultimately the ruler of the kingdom, which is the kingdom of everlasting. Where Jesus comes from. Some seasons are prompted by external, by stirring, or they are sovereign. If we want to invoke a season in our life, sorry, that seasons are provoked. You know, that season was provoked in David's life. But we can have sovereign seasons, Or we can stir up a season. Do you know how you stir up a season? You sow a seed. When we sow a seed, when we plant something, when we invest in the kingdom, there's a return and a reciprocation that takes place. When we sow a seed, we have to invest some way in the kingdom. If we do that, a season will surely come to you. A season will surely come to you where everything changes, where suddenly everything's different. And if you know and you're ready and prepared for that season, God's favor will be upon you. All seasons must be discerned. We need to have a relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, so that we can discern the seasons that we enter into. That's why it's so important to spend time with Him in fasting and praying, and to draw close with Him, have an intimate relationship with Him, so that He can help you to discern the seasons that you're about to enter into. Seasons begin with opportunities and require commitment. When we enter into a season, there's always an opportunity, but we have to grab that opportunity with both hands and show commitment. Otherwise, we're going to miss our opportunities in that season. How about the rich young ruler? When Jesus said to him, he comes after Jesus, he's so excited. He just wants to follow Him. He wants to serve Him. Jesus turns to him and says, okay, great. Sell all your possessions. Sell everything that you have and follow Me. Then the rich young ruler says, no, I cannot do that. And the Bible says, He turned away and he walked away sad because he had much. He had too much and he was too connected to that and not committed enough to sell and be obedient and do what God has called him to do. David immediately invested in the opportunity when Goliath presented himself before the Israelites, and he took that opportunity with both hands, slayed the giant, entered into his promise. We must be prepared and conditioned for a new season. Beginnings and ends, I'll close now. Beginnings and ends of seasons are always marked with tests. Many people know, a nice analogy is university or a student. You might have a test at the end of a season. You'll have a test at the end of a semester. And what is that test designed to do? It's designed to evaluate how much you've learned throughout that season. The same is true for us. Many times we go through a testing period and God is testing us to see what we've learned in the season that He's taking us through. Have we learned what He wanted to teach us? The Bible says about the Israelites in the wilderness, remember when I led you into the wilderness to humble you, to test what is in your heart, to see whether you would obey My commandments or not. Seasons are marked, they end or begin with testing. So sometimes being tested and stretched and pressed is a sign that you're about to enter into a season. If you're being stretched right now, if you're feeling pressure, if you're feeling like there's a testing taking place, there's good news for you. You might be on the verge of entering a new season. God might be testing you right now to see how you will respond in the season you're going into.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.